story in MedPage Today reports that some of the patients who most need flu shots are missing out, according to a study of cancer patients at the University of Pennsylvania. Almost a third of the study's patients who were receiving radiotherapy for cancer had missed their vaccinations for flu and pneumonia. The culprit is apparently a communications gap, say the study's authors. Oncologists who treat cancer patients often assume that primary care physicians will cover the patient's flu shots and vice versa. Well, our oncologist on call for HealthLink on Air is SUNY Upstate Professor Dr. Sheila Lemke, and we have her on the phone this morning to discuss this urgent issue. Good morning, Dr. Lemke.
Good morning, Trish.
Okay, well, it sounds like flu shots are urgent for certain patients, but they're not getting them. What's the scoop?
Well, I really think there's two issues here, Trish. I think that the guidelines for flu shots and the pneumococcal vaccine, which is also brought up in this article, are both very clear, and I think that we all agree with them. I think the issue that this article brings out is communication.
I would agree with you. Let's talk about the flu vaccine side of it first, mm-hmm. and then let's cut to the communication, okay? The flu vaccine is important for whom?
Well, the flu vaccine is definitely recommended for all patients who are older than 50 years or have any other medical condition that would warrant them to get the flu shot based on their immune system being low or having an illness that would create increased risk if they were to develop the flu.
Okay, and what kinds of illnesses might those be?
Well, certainly cancer.
Yes.
So I think all cancer patients and really even long-term cancer survivors should consider getting the flu vaccine. There's a little bit of a misconception among our patients that if they're undergoing chemotherapy or other treatments that they won't get the benefits from the flu vaccine. But in fact, it's very clear that they will get the benefit, and we do recommend it in all of our patients.
You do. Now, I have one question, and that is, I know that there are different kinds of vaccines, and some of them are considered to be live vaccines, and others are not. Is there a risk because of a live vaccine, or how does that part of it work?
The flu vaccine and the pneumococcal vaccine are not live vaccines. So in fact, those are very, very safe in this patient population.
Okay, they are. Because now, isn't the one that is that you inhale through your nose, isn't that a live vaccine? But that's for younger people, right?
I'm not sure what one you're referring to, but again, in terms of the annual flu vaccine that we give out, those are not live.
Okay, and there is a flu vaccine that patients who have a compromised immune system can take, and that's the key.
Sure.
Okay,
absolutely.
Very good. All right, so now we know that these patients need the flu shot to protect themselves, but they're not getting it, and they're not getting it because one doctor thinks they're getting it and the other one thinks they're getting it, and neither one is giving it. Is that right?
I think that's right. I think what happens, again, is that sometimes patients are undergoing, in this particular study, radiation therapy, and mm-hmm. it's very easy to see how a patient comes in every day, and you forget to look at the big picture. You look at the day-to-day picture, and you don't look at the big picture. Likewise, when patients are going through this kind of really active treatment program, they tend to not want to have to also go see their primary care doctor because they just feel like they're being over-doctored. You know, there's too many doctors involved. And so what ends up happening is certain things fall through the gaps. And I think, again, that's going to lead to the next issue. Again, I don't want to leave the point that we do clearly recommend an annual flu shot in all of our patients undergoing treatment for cancer, and certainly anybody over the age of 50, as well as the pneumococcal vaccine. But the next point, I think, would be who is going to make sure that those shots are given, and
right.
where do the patients get those shots?
Well, you know, from the patient's point of view, and having been in some of these positions, I think you're right. I think there is a question of patients feeling like they're being over-doctored, but I also think there's an assumption on the part of patients, and of course there's that word assumption,
mm-hmm.
that because one doctor is taking care of them, that one doctor is looking at everything.
And that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And I often find, you know, sometimes I hate to say to patients, you know, it sounds like you have, you know, blood pressure that's out of control, or it sounds like you have a urinary tract infection. You need to check with your primary care doctor. And I think sometimes their response is, well, you know, why do I have to do that if I'm already seeing you? But the reason, in fact, relates to communication and record keeping and oversight of the whole picture. And I think it's so important. And these are the things that will happen if we're not very careful at defining what you're seeing a doctor for and what that doctor's responsibility is.
Absolutely. And from the patient's point of view, the very best thing a patient can do, I believe, is get in touch with their primary care no matter what else is going on in their lives medically.
Absolutely.
And make sure that they've had that flu shot.
Absolutely.
Very good. Well, Dr. Sheila Lemke, thanks so much for being there on the other end of the phone this morning. We appreciate your input, and patients will be better served by this.
Great to talk to you, Trish.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm psychologist Dr. Rich O'Neill with this week's Checkup from the Neck Up. The wonder drugs you've never heard of, or medicine at its truly best. How much time do you spend working to pay for your meds and doctor visits? What if you could get a couple of drugs that would make you happier, smarter, improve your sex life, help you hold on to your marbles as you get older, give you more energy, make you skinnier, make you live longer, reduce your chance of going into a nursing home, let you eat more, maybe stop a couple of other meds you take? And what if there were no side effects? And you could take a little or a lot and never have to worry about taking the wrong amount? What if you didn't even have to find out the generic names or figure out how to say the bloody things? What if you didn't need a prescription, didn't even have to go to the pharmacy to get them? What if they were free? How much would you be willing to do to get them? How far would you walk to get them? How long would you work to get them? What if you could make them yourself? Sounds like the Fountain of Youth, right? Too good to be true? What are they called? Sorry. I don't know. I don't know if anybody does or knows how they really work. But the fact is, you're already making them. And if you make a bit more, all of those what-ifs above could come true for you. They're the chemicals your body makes whenever you get it moving. Like Bruce Springsteen says, we were born to run, or walk, or swim, or dance, or bike, or play tennis, or skate, or ski, or garden, or whatever you like to get your body gyrating. So here's the fork in the road. Next time we're about to pick up the remote control, let's ask ourselves, did I make my medicine today? See you in the park, or gym, or pool. I'm Dr. Rich O'Neill. Thanks for listening.